B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
3 o'clock, Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. I promise the 3 o'clock hour will be a lot kinder, I think, than the 2 o'clock hour. I don't know. I it's like today. Maybe somebody can run on the field and create a family memory. What do you think, Ty?
I hope not. Like, don't ever run on the field.
The game wasn't going on last night. I know it was raining. I know you're tempted to do something crazy. But you're not supposed to. So I'm not going to sit here and endorse it.
If I was the governor, I would have a law. I would hope that Congress would pass it. State.
What is that?
If you go on the field of play, whatever happens to you, happens to you.
What?
So rules last everywhere. But if you go onto the field of play, whatever happens to you.
What do you mean?
Happens to you.
Like if a police officer gets physical with you?
Yep. Or a player.
A police officer can't get physical with you. A player can't either. That's assault.
To me, see? No. Once you went on the field of play.
You can't assault a guy for doing it.
If you do it. That would be the law. If you jump on the field,
it's good enough that you arrest the guy.
There are plenty of other activities at the ballpark to do. You can go to get some crab fries. You can go get yourself some new gear. You can go get yourself a burger.
Maybe my priorities are out of whack. He wanted to create a family memory. He wanted to do something that people will talk about from this moment on.
What's that little area now where they have where you can go and you can play actual wiffle ball? Yeah, you can go to the yard with your family. Uh-huh. There's plenty to do at the ballpark. Breaking the law
is
not.
You couldn't go to the yard yesterday. It was raining. You couldn't do anything when it was raining. You had to stay in the concourse.
You know what you could do?
Isn't the yard
You could go home.
No.
Oh. You can go home.
Still.
You could.
Hey, everybody. Let's go home and make a memory by playing Monopoly.
Well, the funny thing is, the guy called and then he got an endorsement from another caller. Or maybe it's me that's wrong. Let's go to Jim in Atlantic City. Jim, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jim.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
What's going on, Jim?
I can't wait to come to FanFest for the first time.
Awesome.
And I'm not gonna do something stupid just to get arrested.
Yeah.
To make my son proud either.
Yeah, you know? Well, awesome.
My thing was with Ben Simmons. To me, I find, you know, I'm a big Sixers fan. I find Joel the more compelling player. My reason is, you know, I see the potential now. He's going to be the most dominant player in the East. We're going to go to the finals with him. You know, to me, he's like a proven winner already. You know, I'm looking forward to this season. Ben, I'm sorry. To me, he's always going to be a flawed player, you know, unless he comes back with his jump shot and all that. And that doesn't make him compelling to me. To me, it's almost like makes me feel as a Sixer fan, you know, that's our liability going into this season. And we're just hoping it gets better. You know, do you think?
Yeah, but here's the thing that makes him compelling for me. And I'm not discounting your rationale on Embiid. That to me makes Embiid the more entertaining player. The compelling player is the guy who does something that nobody else does. I've never seen anybody else do what Ben Simmons does from end line to end line. I've seen an Embiid post player. I saw Hakeem Olajuwon. You know, so I haven't seen the 6'10 guy like Magic Johnson was the last time I saw it. So to me, that makes him more compelling.
Yeah, I don't think Olajuwon did as much as Embiid does more than Olajuwon ever did.
Yeah, but Embiid isn't as good as Olajuwon.
Not yet.
But I mean, he does more on both ends. I've seen the mobile enough big man. Embiid sticks out now because there's nobody left that like plays like that. But I have seen the mobile big man with a lot of skills already. I haven't seen the 6'10 guy except for one other guy in the history of the game.
Yeah.
The 6'10 guy who handles like he handles, who has the floor speed that he has.
And I think people will agree once that game is fully unlocked. Right now, you won't find many people who want a big man other than Embiid.
A good chunk
of the callers would take a point guard instead of Ben Simmons right now.
Well, because they don't know the game. That's why. They don't focus enough on the other thing that he does, which is like he does it like nobody else that's ever played. And he doesn't get enough credit for it. We focus on the negative. And I do a large part, too. We focus on the fact that he won't take a jump shot. But the what he does, I go, I haven't seen that. I haven't seen it. So that's what makes him more compelling to me. All right, let's go John in Haddon Township. John, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. John.
Hey, Mikey, Mitch.
What's up,
how
John?
You doing today?
Good.
Hey, listen, real quick. First of all, if you want to create a family memory, that little kid that gave the other little kid the baseball that went out of bounds, that's more of a family member, family memory than a jackass who jumped on a turf.
Yeah, well, I see it that way, too. It was a touching moment. Natalie really loved that moment because she's very soft-hearted. She thought it was really a beautiful moment.
But it was very nice.
I just think when I get it, like if you're a young, drunken fraternity kid and somebody does it on a dare, like you do it, right? And you don't remember that you did it because you have these false beer muscles. But, you know, a guy who does it because he wanted to create a family memory, I don't get that part of it.
No. All right. Hey, listen. Mm-hmm. I took my kids to the game last night, and they trotted out like a double-A, single-A type lineup. That was embarrassing. I mean, they got one hit the whole damn night. Their pitching staff, their bullpen, we all know how bad they are. I mean, we were watching, Austin, the relief pitcher? By the time he got done, his batting average against was up to .319. You can't win games putting players out like that.
Yeah, they're taking shots in the dark now. They're bringing guys up. They're sending guys down. They're trying to get it done with guys like Salas and then Ranger Suarez. And Austin Davis has been up five different times. You know, they're just drawing at straws here.
Why didn't they? I know they were giving Segura rest, and I knew they were giving JT rest, but then they had him pinch hit later on in the game. Why didn't they bat them instead of the minor leaguers, as I'm calling the bottom half of the lineup, when they had the bases loaded?
Oh, when was that? I fell asleep during the game and woke up later in the game.
The sixth inning.
The sixth inning? What did they do in the sixth?
They got the bases loaded, and then they let Nick Williams and the rest of the minor leaguers basically bat.
Oh, who did you want in that spot to hit? Franco?
Franco.
Yeah, who was pitching for the Dodgers? I have to look back at that whole situation. Listen, we looked at the lineup, and we thought it was a joke. He stacked Brad Miller, Adam Haseley, Nick Williams, Andrew Knapp. They promptly went 1-for-12 with a one hit by Haseley. Was it ground ball single? It was.
See, that's what that dripping with hate.
Was it? It had to be ground ball. Was it ground ball single?
I fell asleep.
Anyway.
I don't know. I fell asleep.
I'm going to look back at the inning of this.
But the guy really played. He's playing well. He had a great catch in the outfield. I saw that yesterday. He had another great catch today. He's playing good defense. Hit a home run, and you're ripping him. On number one of 300.
Let's go to True in North Philly. True, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. True.
Hey, how you doing, man?
What's up, man?
Hey, Mike, man. I'm a long-time listener. First time getting filled. You all right today, man?
Am I right? Yeah, I'm a little.
You all right today?
I'm a little unnerved.
Yeah, I see, man. But I just wanted to speak on the Ben Simmons thing.
All right, go ahead.
I just think Ben Simmons, I think it's a more of a confidence and will it. Like, when you, even the best shooters, like, if they're not confident in their shot, they got to get to the rack, get to get the ball, go through the hoop a little bit, just to get they build that confidence back up.
Yeah.
I think better come back this year.
I got to be honest with you. I'm not expecting to see the jump shot on a regular basis.
You don't think he'll?
No, because you know he's afraid to shoot it. And like the Australian team, he bails out of that. It's not because of the Sixers. They signed to a contract. I'm sure the Sixers would have loved to have seen him play in that to develop his game even further. He doesn't want to show people yet the jump shot.
And I don't think it's there. I don't think he has.
All right, well, then that bothers me. So when's it going to be there? What, I'm supposed to wait until they come to training camp and all of a sudden it's going to be there?
So if he gets from what I'm reading and the things that I'm hearing, he's doing a lot.
He's doing what? He's doing it in an empty court.
You're right.
That doesn't do anything. If you play against international competition and you test out the jump shot, then I got some love for you. He's afraid to do that.
I mean, as long as he comes and shoots, I don't care if he only shoots three jump shots a game.
Yeah, but see, you're assuming he's going to do that. I'm assuming that if he doesn't want to show it yet, he's never going to want to show it. Like, well, all of a sudden, the season's going to start and he's going to take it off the wrapper?
I mean, so you wanted him to
shoot? Yes, I wanted to see it now. I wanted to see it in competition.
In the beginning of the year last year, I can understand people wanted him to shoot the jump shot. But once we got into a playoff run and into the playoffs, I don't want you taking...
No, I'm not talking about last year. I'm talking about what he needed to do to be a better player this year. This is like a long process now, and I don't believe, just because he's hired a shooting coach and he's shooting a lot of shots in the offseason and he's shooting them against no defense, that he is all of a sudden going to come into this year and shoot the jump shot. I wanted to see him test out what he's learned so far. He's had weeks to learn some stuff in competition. Here's how I can test it out. Here's how I can break through, go through trial and error. This doesn't really count. The NBA season counts. So let me get the rust off this shot by showing it in FIBA competition. The fact that he didn't want to do it is telling to me that he's not ready to do it. So I'm supposed to say, oh, okay, in a couple more weeks, he's going to be ready to do it. I've been down that road before with that freaking Markelle Fultz. I can't go down this road anymore. I got to know that he's going to shoot it. And I would have known that I watched him play for Australia, the Boomers. All those other dudes are playing for the Boomers. You see them? All those other Aussies?
Yeah, they're all playing.
Engels, Jonah Bolden even is getting off the pine to play for them.
What do you mean he's getting off? He's going to play a lot for them.
He might be a starter for the Boomers.
Yeah, and he's going to help them win. Get there, help them get a bronze medal. Mm-hmm. But I think his plan, he claims, and I sort of believe him, is to hold off and then play in the Olympics. I still wish he would play in these games. Because he said he's going to go over and practice with them.
Yeah.
So once you practice with them, play in the games.
Uh-huh.
So I that's the other part. Just stay here or play. Why go over and practice with the team and then not play in any of the games? That part's odd to me, too, in his statement that he released.
All right. So the situation you guys talked about yesterday in the game is bottom of the sixth inning. Dodgers are leading 2-0. They did have the bases loaded, and they brought in Urias. And he walked Miller to force in a run. So now the bases are still loaded, and Haseley comes up. He's left-handed. And then Williams comes up. Haseley had ground ball to shortstop fielder's choice, and Williams struck out. So that's what he's saying, and maybe you use one of your players on the bench in that spot because you had three lefties coming up and you had Urias pitching.
Yeah, so you put a probably bat at Franco for Miller, but he would end up drawing the walk anyway.
Yeah, like what outfielders do you have right now?
That's what I mean.
So you can't pinch it for an outfielder in the sixth inning, I guess.
Unless
you just got to bite the bullet. I mean, it's your fault for stacking those guys. What I say yesterday, they bring in a left-handed pitcher. You know, those guys are all stacked as left-handers.
It's almost like he punted on the game, which I don't care for.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know you're not going to generate many runs when you put together that AAA lineup.
Yeah.
I mean, good thing Haseley got that hit.
Yep. Good hit by Hayes. Manny in Jersey. Manny, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
What's going on, Mikey?
What's up, Manny?
I'm good, man. I'm good. You know you're my boy, man. You got that swag, man. I thought I had a beef with you, but I don't.
What was the beef?
I didn't know what happened yesterday. I didn't know the guy said that he was trying to create a family memory. So
he just said that today on the show.
Yeah, he wilded out. I didn't know, but I'm hearing you say, oh, what is he doing? But then you said if he was young, it was on a dare, he was a little tensed up a little bit, he did it, then you understand. But he was trying to create a...
Yeah, but I would understand because that may, you know, like those are the people that would do stuff like that.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Guy's not thinking.
No,
kids.
It would have made sense that way, but the other way, the guy's wrong. You're right. That's it. I was
frustrated. I assume the guy's an adult, right?
Yeah.
He's not some drunken frat boy.
Yeah. He bugged out. First, I was thinking, I said, what's wrong with Mikey? He's not giving the guy a little break. But then the guy, that's it. The guy was wrong. Period. That's it.
I go, well, dude, you got arrested for it. All right, go ahead. Go ahead with your point.
Tyrone's trying to get the guy beat up on the field.
That's why he's Tyrone Lannister.
Correct. Ty Lannister.
Okay,
Mike.
Yep.
Damn, I don't, well, all right. So that was all, Mike. I just wanted to say that.
Listen, I don't want people to think I'm a stick in the mud here, right? But I heard the guy say it the first time. I didn't comment on it. And the guy said, you know, I was the guy, I don't know if you saw it, but I was the guy. And I'm thinking to myself, oh boy, he actually thinks that was cool to do. And I let it go for a while then until he started going back to it. Great. I said, why would you do something like that? And he goes, well, I had 11 family members and I'm creating a family memory. And I'm going, well, I see that differently. You know, like to me, that makes you a butthole if you do something like that.
Yep. And that's
I could be like, I could be wrong. You know, maybe I don't like fun, apparently.
No, I mean, I don't know if you like fun, but I don't consider that fun. But I still think that you guys dismissed my rule. I think it would be a smart rule. It would deter. One time somebody would jump on that field and you would know the new rules.
You can't sanction assault, Tyrone. Come on.
We've sanctioned assault. Okay. No, treat it like a... No,
don't
like,
sanction assault. The police got them. And if they didn't get them, they would have... Remember the kid that ran out there and he was running all around, they had to tase him.
Yes.
If they could have caught this guy, they would have probably resorted to something like that.
What I'm saying is that when a guy goes to box, both guys agree, we're getting into the squared circle, or MMA, we're going into this octagon, whatever happens, happens within. I'm saying on the back of your ticket, it reads, same thing for your reason not to extend the net. It reads, if you go on the field to play, whatever happens, happens. So you're entering a boxing ring. Mm. If you get beat up in a boxing ring, you can't sue. Yeah. Same thing if you get beat up on the field. That'll stop people from running on the field.
No.
If they know, yes, it will.
No.
Because they may not leave the field.
What kind of society do you want to create here? Seriously.
One that protects the field of play.
A society where a guy who goes out on the field gets beat up in front of 12,000 people?
Yes.
Come on, stop.
I do want that.
Listen, here's the other side of it. All right? It's a rain delay. They're asking you to sit through it for a couple of hours. You don't have to, not compelled. But, you know, people didn't get enough baseball for tonight. You want to hang in there, see what the rain delay is going to be. And if there's a rain delay and there's a tarp and it's glistening, then anything goes because it's just fun. It's then slip and slide time.
They can't have that. You're on the field of play.
The game's not on. There's nobody on. I'm taking the devil's advocate side here. There's no players on the field. Like when the kid went on the field, a game was actually in progress. Mm-hmm. No game is in progress.
Right, but once you get on the field, you'll have access, if you were able to run from security, to get to the players out in the dugout. You can run down there.
Well, and that's
I can't have that.
No, and that's what the issue is we don't live in a society where things are funny anymore because things are just not safe in general for anybody anywhere. Look at what happens at the movie theater. Look at what happens at a concert. You can't just think that because you're being funny and you want to create a memory that you're not putting everybody else at risk. Because one day, it could be the wrong person who does that.
Jumps on the field looking to do harm.
Okay,
yes.
I get it. But in that particular situation, there's no harm. No harm, no foul. Guy just slid, had a little fun. His family's going to talk about it. The time little Joey ran on the slip and slide on the ball field.
Right.
And then they're gonna have that memory.
Right, and how is security supposed to know that? You know,
that's what
like
I mean.
Their job is to keep people safe, and you are putting people at risk when you do bonehead things like that because this world is not as safe as it used to be.
Right, so you slide.
Bottom line.
And just because he did the slide doesn't mean that was it. They caught him before he could do something else. I don't know what else the guy planned to do, but he didn't sound like when he called you like a Mensa member.
No, I don't know what he is. I don't know if he's a father, he's young, he's older. Let's just say that he's in his 30s and he's a father. Now, what kind of an example is that? Forget about the family memory. What about the example it sets?
And break rules. And that's a big one, going on the field of play. To me, that the game's sacred to me.
I don't even
like that they do the halftime show on the field. I wish they had a different place set up during the Super Bowl. I think the field of play is sacred. Stay away from it.
Well, I disagree. I think it's more of a security risk, and you just have to be cognizant of the world we live in now.
All right. No, I'm not going to comment on it anymore. I put my statement out there. I don't want to, like, come off like some gendarme, you know? policeman, some, you know, some old head who doesn't like fun. RJ and Lindenwald, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. RJ.
Hey, Mike, I was kind of worried about calling in with the dumpster fire a couple minutes ago with some of the other callers.
Yeah, I don't know what the guy was saying. I do the same thing. He was trying to relate it somehow. I do the same thing that the guy did by sliding on the field.
All right, I had a couple. Whose bright idea is that to be putting these on like YouTube and Facebook and stuff like that?
Well, it's YouTube paying for a rights fee to televise the game.
I'm trying to watch it on my TV, and about every a minute and a half it says loading, so I have to talk into my remote and say Philly's on YouTube.
Interesting, because that's been we had another call that said the same thing. I guess that's the peril of a stream when you're watching a game. But you got to look at the other side of it, right? YouTube approaches the Phillies just like Facebook did last year. They want to do live content. So they come to the Phillies and go, listen, we'll pay, I don't know what the rights fee, but just say they paid $2 million for one game to televise the game. Now, in addition to the contract they already have with NBC Sports Philadelphia, which pays them millions, by the way, they can make an extra $2 million on one game. So why wouldn't they sell it?
I get it on the money aspect on their side, but it's not so pleasant when on our side.
All right, so it's an MLB deal, Tyron. So MLB makes that kind of money but that YouTube will pay MLB. And yeah, okay, I get it. But it's a revenue stream, basically, what it is.
I get it on that. So real quick, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but in the beginning of the season, you know, in the off season. We made a bunch of trades, brought in JT Realmuto, went out, got Bryce Harper. Everything was we're going to spend ridiculous money. We're trying to win now. So now it's if we make a playoffs, we make a playoffs. It is what it is. But then you get these reports that Klintak, you know, behind the scenes is working overtime trying to make things happen. Is that just McVail trying to put like, okay, we're you know trying to play it off like we don't look desperate? But
what do you mean he's working overtime trying to make things happen?
There was reports, you know, reading online stuff, reports that Klintak was working overtime trying to make some trades happen.
Well, but the guy ahead of him on Friday said that they're unlikely to do that.
Exactly. And so that's what I was.
I don't know what the online thing you're talking about. I don't know if it's credible or not. All I can tell you is that the president of the team came out and said, we don't think we're good enough to make those kind of deals to add enough players. So whatever report came out after that, it is a refute of what the president's already stated, that they're not going to do something like that. All right, 610-632-0975. It is now 5-4 as Segura has a base knock to drive home Haseley. How did Haseley get on?
I think he reached on an error.
Ground ball? Was it a ground ball?
I'm not watching it.
Oh,
that
it was
close.
Hit by a pitch.
All right.
He got hit by a
pitch.
Oh,
yeah, yeah. I saw, yeah, he did. He got hit in the back.
He got hit by a pitch.
See, that's already being a cagey vet.
Phillies are creeping in the bottom of the seventh. 5-4. Dodgers still have to leave it to Phillies over a rally. We'll update you after this. 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Oh, Phil's rallied. Phil's are in the lead. Tell you about it after our Twitter poll update brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Natalie Aganoff. Natalie.
Thanks, Mike. We have over 1,200 votes on this one today. Who is the most intriguing Philadelphia athlete? 27% say Carson Wentz, 10% Bryce Harper, 47% Joel Embiid, and 16% Ben Simmons. So Joel Embiid is still the most intriguing.
All right. I have a different definition than most people when it comes to this, but that's okay. I got it. I understand why Embiid leads. So the Phillies start the bottom of the seventh. Big rally. Haseley hit by a pitch. And then Ferguson's pitching for L.A. He walks Roman Quint. Now, I gotta be honest with you. If I'm Ferguson, I go, hey, Holmes, listen, I'm not going to pitch to you here. I'm just going to set up a tee, and we'll put the ball there, and wherever you hit it is good. He walks the dude. He's got Haisley Quick coming up, and he gets in trouble.
He couldn't find his own.
Kingery strikes out. Segura gets a single, scores Haisley, and then Harper, a big single. Arrow and Bellinger moves the runners up, and Hoskins with a two-run single. Phillies are up 7-5 as Joe Kelly is in the game for the Dodgers. Let's go to John in Newcastle. John, you're on 97.5, The Fanatic. John.
Oh, Mike, you're killing me with the T. And
I'm not even going to waste the pay. Holmes, here's the T. If you can hit a line drive to the outfield, knock yourself out.
So I'm watching the game on TV. But last night, Mike, 2 months ago, I buy tickets, section 105, right behind Bryce Harper. And my wife and my daughter are fighting for who's going to go with me. So my wife wins. We're driving to the game last night. I turn to her and I say, listen, we're kind of going to see a little bit of Phillies, a little bit of Lehigh Iron Pigs tonight.
Yeah. Like, yeah, that 5-6-7-8 was delightful, wasn't it?
Oh, it was horrible. So we sit through the rain delay, and she's got to get up at like a 4:30 in the morning and go to work. And I'm like, listen, we paid so much money for these tickets. We just
This
rain delay out. We did stick it out, but I had to laugh. Like, I'm thinking about you while I'm watching the game because I know he hit a home run today, and I hate to pile on. I want to make Tyrone mad.
Haisley,
the ball, I said to the guy next to me when he came up late in the game, and I said, if he hits that at the infield, it'll be a miracle.
Yeah, he's a hard ground ball hitter, is what he is. the ground balls he hits are hard, but they're just ground balls.
Yeah, I mean,
good for him today. He hit a home run. He lifted one.
But real quick on Ben Simmons, mm-hmm. I love Ben Simmons like you do. I almost feel like I defend him to anybody that criticizes, like he's my son. Mm-hmm. Like I find myself defending him, and he's, you know, but the only worry I have with him is, aside from the fact that I'm worried he'll never shoot a jumper, is I'm afraid that he almost knows that I could probably make 12 All-Star teams, be third team All-NBA 6 times in my career, be a borderline Hall of Famer and never really have to develop a jumper to do that. And I'm worried if he thinks that's enough. Like he is kind of a star.
I don't think he can be a borderline Hall of Famer averaging 16 points a game. And I think that's all he's capable of now without the jump shot. He's got to be a 25-point scorer more often than not. And that's the jump shot. So he knows what's ahead of him. Lamar in Bethlehem. Lamar, by the way, the wife got to get up 4:30. You got to leave that. You can't sit through that rain delay, can you? No matter how much money you pay for the tickets.
No, you can't. 4:30, that's just...
You can't sit through that.
Nah.
Get up 4:30? All right, Lamar, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Lamar.
Mike, you made it. What's up, Playboy?
What's up, Lamar?
Chilling down here in Bethlehem. Before I get to my question, I want to point out, I get where you're coming from with this idiot the Phillies game last
mm-hmm.
Yesterday, because I was in a similar situation last Friday with this idiot climbing the steel stacks down here. You know, I was on the trestle when he was doing that, so I understand where you're coming from. This is just idiotic, you know what I mean?
Yeah, listen, I was the one to blow it off until he wore it as a badge of honor, and I go, come on, man.
My question, before I ask another question, can you pull some strings and get the Eagles back down here for training camp?
I think those days are gone, bro. It's a lot more economical for the birds to stay right here.
Okay. My question is, if the Eagles running back situation, if it's injury prone as it was last year, would you mind bringing it? Would you bring in LeGarrette Blount?
No.
He's a free agent now. Would you bring him in?
No.
Got something left?
You don't need him. You got about 4 or 5 running backs now. You don't need LeGarrette Blount.
No, I mean, if we're injury prone like we were last year.
He only gets a year older, bro. He's ancient. He's got like a million miles on his odometer. Yeah, but he's like 39 in NFL years.
All right.
Yeah, we still have affection for LeGarrette Blount. That's interesting.
I think,
this day and age.
I think it's because of his name.
LeGarrette Blount.
I think people are fascinated by the fact that his name's Blount.
Yeah?
I'm serious. Because last season, he averaged 2.7 yards per carry.
Yeah, he's finished.
I mean,
basically, when the Eagles had him, he gave the Eagle fans something, a dimension. But he doesn't even have that dimension anymore.
No, he scored 5 touchdowns all year, and he caught 10 passes the entire season, 2.7 yards a carry. I just don't see why fans still want him back, other than the fact that they like
because
his name.
Because it's the old perception. People carry a perception, perception when they watched him to the modern day, instead of like and ignore that years have gone by, like time has gone by. Like, this is the memory they have of him, so therefore he would provide the same thing.
Same thing with Jamal Crawford when they call you, hey, Mike, you want Jamal Crawford?
Exactly.
They're thinking about when he won sixth man of the year.
Exactly.
Not now at 38,
right.
39
you,
years
you
old.
You can't ignore the time that goes past. Guys age, and especially running backs, they age in dog years. All right, Joe in Delaware, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Joe.
Yeah, I wanted to talk a little bit about this shift in baseball, especially for the Phillies.
Mm-hmm.
And the main thing is wondering why they can't play more straight up in the game rather than have all this maneuvering and leaving those large holes at third base and second base and in the outfield, this type of thing. And then watching the effort when the ball's hit to the left or right of them being almost nothing to knock the ball down. I don't understand that.
So you want a rule that prohibits the shift?
I like to prohibit the shift in a way that they can start winning games by being able to move left or right because they have the speed to do that.
Yeah, but you do realize that it's a very, very good defensive strategy if you're looking at where guys hit the ball.
Yeah, it's strategy, you know, but at the same time, I'm looking at the effort at that strategy not being there. I've seen players that the ball hit two or 3 feet to the left or right of them when they could have dove and knocked it down, and they won't do it.
Yeah, I'm not seeing
that. The ball goes to the outfield.
I'm not seeing that part of it.
Yeah,
I think the shift is actually a good thing.
Yeah, and the other thing was I have one thing about Hoskins.
Yes.
If he would swing more level at strikes and swing at more strikes, he's going to hit more balls because all he does is uppercut and want to put that ball in the left field seats. And I've seen in so many games in the past month where he had a chance to knock in runs and have those RBIs even higher, and that average up about 15 or 20 points. And he strikes out.
Well, I can tell you're an old school baseball guy.
Yes,
right?
I am.
You want to go back to the old way they used to play. And, you know, like I'm looking at the Dodgers. They hit 16 home runs in this series with the launch angle, right? How's that working out for them?
Yeah, well, it's working out well for them. It's working out well for them because they have the pitching.
Now, Joe, regarding the shift, don't you think it's an advantage for your own team? They shift all the time, the Phillies, in defensive shifts, and it prevents guys from scoring runs.
No, I don't think it's an advantage for the Phillies.
Why isn't it an advantage for the Phillies?
Because they're not scoring runs themselves when the other teams
I'm talking defensively.
They can't find the hole. They can't find the hole.
Well, that's their fault as hitters.
Yeah, that's their fault as hitters because they don't have the hitters. They think they have the hitters, but they don't.
I don't know what he was like. He was anti-shift or anti-hitter. Like, what was he there? I can't figure out where he was going. That's the old school thing. No shifts, no launch angle. You know, you can keep fighting this fight, but eventually you got to give in and go, baseball has changed, and that's the way it's changed. Now, will it go back? I don't know. Who knows? It may go way back to where the launch angle has become passe and shifts have become passe. I don't know. For right now, that's the way that most teams have decided they can win games, by shifting, by having launch angle swings that drive the ball in gaps or out of the park. 610-632-0975. Phil's trying to salvage a split in a 4-game series. They're up at the top of the 8th. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 347, Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. There was a really good moment before today's Phillies game. I got to tell you about the first pitch. My buddy John had purchased the chance to throw out the first pitch at a Phillies game at a charity auction. I think it was a Citizens Bank thing. And he got it. So today, his son is named John Michael. His middle name is named after me. I'm his godson. So he served the Marines in Iraq. And so his dad brought him onto the field. And the son was thinking his dad was going to throw the first pitch. He told the kid to throw it. He was announced as John Michael Kudisco served the nation in Iraq, and he got a standing ovation.
Oh, he just got the chills. That's so nice.
So, yeah, it was a really nice moment. He just sent me the video of it.
Oh, that awesome. I want to see it.
Yeah, I couldn't really. The video was taken from the top deck, so I really couldn't see. Apparently, the ball went in the dirt.
Okay. Yeah, that's the only
negative there.
He threw it at a Fanatic.
Yeah, is that the son didn't get any practice time.
No practice time.
That's tough.
He was shocked.
That's what I mean.
He turned around. Because you're throwing out the first ball, he told him.
Yeah.
That is so nice.
Yeah. So that's great. But I bet you the son's like, hey, Dad, you could have told me on the car ride, I at least could have got my arm. Yeah. he didn't get the arm loose. Come on, Pop. You could have let me get the arm loose.
Yeah, all this time I never knew the kid was a lefty.
Really?
Uh-huh. Yeah, he threw it, fired one in left-handed, but threw it in the dirt. So, John Kudisco and John Michael Kudisco, congratulations for your efforts today. Let's go to Mark in Levittown. Mark, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mark.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, Mark?
I loved all that stuff about that dude sliding, the slip and slide.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy, but that is like a castle, and you should be able to defend your castle. I know the ramifications, you know, the legal ramifications, but what about if you get him in the tunnel and give him the business?
Wait a minute, you're losing me. That's your castle and you what? You should be able to defend your castle.
What does that mean? Your castle.
How are you defending your castle if you go out there and slide on the tarp?
In the old days, if you ran on that field, Ray Nitschke would lump you up.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You can't do it. You can't. That's sacred ground, like he said, like Ty.
Oh, you're saying that you have to defend your castle. In other words, you could beat up somebody who does something like that.
Well, you can't beat them up, but you can give them the business a little bit.
Well, the security people caught him and they cuffed him and they charged him with a crime. Now, what's wrong with that? You don't need to be physical.
In the tunnel?
It's okay for a police officer to arrest the guy and throw him in the back of the wagon and beat him up back there?
Not anymore.
All right. Come on, man. We're in 2019.
I know. I'm sorry.
You can't be sanctioning any assaults.
Nostalgic guy. I mean.
Go now. Tim in Lancaster. Tim, you're on 97.5. Hey, what's up, Tim?
Sorry, Mike.
It's all right.
I love your show, but your callers are losers today. I have a two-part question. Mm-hmm. First part is, when you watch a Sixers game, do you turn it on to see Embiid or Ben Simmons?
Me?
Yes.
Simmons. Personally. Simmons.
Really?
Yep.
And then
Like, that's why I love Jordan and LeBron. I like guys that can get the ball down the floor and with the dribble, outmaneuver people using size and strength and speed rather than a guy who's just going to go in the post. I like the all-around game rather than the post guy.
Okay. Here's another part of that question. Mm-hmm. In the next 3 years, which player do you think will advance more?
I don't know. I listen, that Simmons has more tools to advance more in this game because he's got the ball in his hands more.
Well, I disagree, and I'll tell you why.
Okay, go ahead.
I watched the Sixers this year, mm-hmm. and you turn the pregame on, and they say Embiid ain't going to play. Everybody's down because they probably are going to have a tough time winning that game. But if Ben Simmons misses a game, nobody sits there and says their chances go down remarkably like they mm-hmm. do with the
team. And you raise a good point, but I just think the all-around player can influence the game more than just the post player.
Okay, my other question is with the Phillies farm team. I mm-hmm. don't know a lot about baseball, but I trust what you're saying. How long do you think they can rejuvenate the farm team? Because from what I hear you're saying, there's only like two or three prospects, and they're not, you know, going to be great players anyway. So how long will it take?
It's a really good question. And the problem is they can't make trades of players to replenish their farm system because they really don't have any marketable guys that'll get you good minor league prospects.
So we're all going to go in the draft? I mean, is that what you're
saying? Well, you have to rely on it. There's a great story on ESPN.com today about Buster Olney and how the Phillies have really over the last several years have tanked in order to get better, like the Astros and Cubs, but they haven't had the same success in drafting players as the Astros and Cubs have.
All right, because I mean, I just don't see anything coming mm-hmm. down through, you know, like Jimmy mm-hmm. and Chase and all the players,
yeah.
Hamels and all them.
We just
don't have anybody.
You know, you're right. And here's the paragraph that Buster Olney writes. Despite dramatically reducing their spending and finishing in fourth or fifth place in the National League East over five straight years, the Phillies are powered in 2019 by more expensive free agent and trade acquisitions, such as Bryce Harper, JT Realmuto, and don't appear to have the sort of prospect pipeline that evolved for the Astros and Cubs. So in other words, the Astros and Cubs reduced their payroll, tanked, lost, replenish their farm system while they were doing that. He's making the point that the Phillies have not. And they haven't. You know, their number one picks have not flourished. J.P. Crawford, Cornelius Randolph, Mickey Moniak. They're nowhere close to the big leagues. 610-632-0975. John Clark will join us at 4 o'clock with some information on how, you know, we might be sleeping in a car in Cooperstown.
I can't wait to hear.
On a Wawa bag with hoagie wrappers in it.
Maybe you guys can get matching jammies.
I've been waiting for this since you mentioned it yesterday when Stark was on.
As you know, he has sent me a text. He's been trying to get us a hotel room or two. I would like to have my own hotel room. But he sent me a text today. Asking, there were two choices, and one had one bed, and the other had two beds. John, seriously?
Matching Phillies jammies.
Jesus. All right, we're back at this, 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.